Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Concert Honesty Podcast. This is episode number 92. We're doing the CoronaCast series, and my guest today is Zach Quillen. Yep, we share the same last name because he's my brother. And we talk about all things Corona. He is a freelance musician living in Charleston, South Carolina, and is currently out of work just like the rest of us. So just a note, during the CoronaCast series here, don't hold any of us accountable for what we're talking about, prognosticating about, predicting. We're all just making stuff up here as we go. So I hope these serve as a snapshot that we can check back in on later about how we were dealing with things during this crisis. But anyway, hope you're enjoying. This is my brother, Zach Quillen. Talk to you soon. Bye. All right. Just move some things here so we can chat. All right. Corona. We're rolling on this end, Corona.
Okay. Do I need to do anything to make it work?
Just cover your mouth when you cough.
Oh, do I have to wash my hands too?
And donate your face mask to your nearest hospital.
What if I don't want to?
Well, it's your citizenry obligation.
Citizenry.
I'm flexing on my with big words.
I like your drum set and your sound shield there. Your Asian dressing room.
That is a
sound baffle.
It's totally not a sound baffle, but it kind of looks like one. Sorry, I got some.
All good. I see. Some skull gummies. Skull gummies. They're going to kick in. I mean, this isn't going to be a super long podcast, so they're going to kick in right as soon as you're done, baby.
Perfect. Why do you think I'm doing this? Perfect timing.
Well, hey, girl. We're just talking about coronavirus today. My listener knows who you are, so there's no need to go into deep introductions with old ZQ here. So I'm just curious, what's been going through your mind here with this coronavirus sweeping across the nation and into a town near you?
Well, I have haven't had a vacation this lovely,
yeah,
in quite some time.
Yeah,
honestly, I feel like a little like it's almost like it, not almost, it's surreal to me, because they were like, yeah, there's a virus, and then you know it's been kind of creeping into our kind of awareness lately. And then had this all of a sudden, yeah, we're going to shut some stuff down. Ah, no, it's all shut down. All your shit's shut down. Every possible gig or way that I have to make money or be a human till like first, second week of May. I mean, a month and a half or 2 months of stuff got canceled in one day.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm immediately. Everything that I immediately have nothing to do at all. And I was like, all right. And they're like, don't worry, we'll be back on in a month and a half or 2 months. And I'm like, okay, not enough time to get a job.
Well, what's Charleston, or what is South Carolina's current regulations and stuff that are in place? Like what is this current state of affairs in South Carolina as of March 25th?
Well, you know, my favorite joke about South Carolina, and I love South Carolina, but my favorite joke about South Carolina is that it's the 1980s here. We're about 40 years behind everyone else. Not because we can't be. We choose to be. So everything is happening the same here as it is other states, just slower. Mm. And that's the part that kind of worries me, honestly. Mm-hmm. We are now on any non-essential businesses it's mandatory they shut down. Mm-hmm. We still have bars and restaurants open, but not only for takeout.
Right.
So they can sell beer and liquor for takeout. They can sell or I think it's beers. I don't even think they can do liquor drinks because you can't close them or whatever. But they're serving food, doing takeout.
In the islands, down in Virgin Islands, they just put a little piece of scotch tape over the straw hole to be like, you can't drink it in your car.
Yeah, yes.
This all, if only they hadn't put this scotch tape, this single piece of scotch tape
now
over.
There's no way I can drink this.
Now there's no way. Thank God.
You know, driving does make me nervous, but I'm glad I don't have access to this drinking.
Well, one of the drinking laws in the Virgin Islands and St. Croix is you can... And I think I'm getting this right. You can drink. You just have to have a straw because they don't want you to tip your head back and take your eyes off the road.
That sounds right.
Well, I wonder, do you think – what do you think is going to stick around after this is all – like all the sanctions are lifted? Do you think that take-home alcohol is going to be a thing that we're just going to be like, yeah, you can't have that back. That's ours now.
That's
mine.
Well, mine. Listen, I think – first of all, this is South Carolina. This is our, you know, this is a don't tread on me state. So they're already pissed that anyone's telling them they can't leave the house unless it's essential. When they said parties are 50 or less, they were like, yeah, you got to catch us. You know, when they said 10 or less, yeah, good luck catching us. Then they're like, 3 or less. People are like, I'm having a party of 10 in my house. Like, it's just very, you know, rebel mentality about it. Uh-huh. And a lot of people are taking it seriously. A lot of people think it's still a hoax. Because this is Trump country, you know, and that's no disrespect to the Trump supporters out there. But, you know, they listened to what he said out of the gate and they think the media ran with it and made it worse. And now he's got to play, you know, it's funny. I got people walking out, having parties, you know, might as well be coughing in people's faces on purpose just because, like, that's the disregard there. But
it's like he's forever like there's no. There's always, I mean, this is the danger of conspiracy theories, is like there's always an angle they can find. You're never devoid of an angle to find if you're a conspiracy theorist. Like, you can always be like, oh, well, yeah, no. When he said hoax, what he really meant was this, and then he meant this, and then this happened. So it's all, and Trump's really just, he's the savior now, and he's really, his approval ratings are going up right now.
Well, here's the thing is, I think of all the shit that Trump has. In my opinion, you know, I'm a libertarian. I don't know if we talked about this last podcast, but, you know,
I think we touched on it.
Okay. Both sides hate me equally, right? And I like stuff about the Democrats and I like stuff about the Republicans and I hate shit about both of them. Okay. But one of the things I will say about this is he's finally doing something I've wished he'd done since the beginning. And I'll get
the beginning of what? The beginning of his term or the beginning of this virus outbreak?
Beginning of him being in the public eye as a fucking government figure.
Got
a thing I never thought would be real. Mm-hmm. Might as well be Barney the fucking dinosaur up there, like, as ridiculous as it is that he's our president.
Right.
But no disrespect to Barney.
None taken.
Yeah. He's reading speeches. I've been saying since the beginning, it's not the Republican ideals that are so bad. It's really not, man. And they argue about shit that, you know, the Democrats will argue back. You know, Republicans aren't going to get it to where every baby gets issued an AR-15 if they aren't aborted first. You know, like, or you know, like, it does, it's right. It's not all these, you know, crazy things. It's like not the policy that concerns me so much as it is. He just talks out his ass. And it's like our dad used to say, you know, if you don't control your mouth, someone else will, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you run your mouth, you're gonna get popped. It's like, he's finally, I think at some point at the beginning, going, yeah, it's bullshit. And it's a hoax. They're trying to fuck with me. And then somebody at some point, I think, said, hey man, this is actually fucking real. And these are the speeches you're going to fucking read, because otherwise we're all going to die.
Yeah, but that didn't happen until the stock market lost like 1,500 points in one day. And
I don't care how it happened. He's reading the fucking speech.
Yeah, but
what I want him to do, it's like, hire a guy to write the speech and read it so you don't sound like a fucking moron. And the problem is he still ad-libs, which
is... Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. And this is like him the other day talking to that reporter who was like, what do you say to Americans who are scared? And Trump's like, you're a bad reporter. That's what I would say. And it's like, whoa, dude, your job.
You see the whole thing?
Yeah. But I was like, your job is, regardless of what you think, your job is to be the leader. And like, even if you feel like this whole thing is a fake, the reality is that a lot of people don't see it that way. And you have to be a president to everybody. At some point, when the shit hits the fan, you can't be in your corner being like, yeah, but Pelosi's this. And it's like, when he's up there like roasting this reporter, I'm like, dog, if you have any idea how many people are going to be in hospitals, are going to die from this. Like, but we're in this weird world right now where, you know, John Kerry gets run up a flagpole for supposedly flip-flopping on something like 20 years ago. One thing, and they call him a flip-flopper. And Donald Trump is out there calling something a hoax, and then the next day being like, oh, wow, whatever. Like, it'll disappear.
I always knew it was a pandemic.
I always knew it was a pandemic. You're just like, wow, this is so important. I mean, maybe this is the thing that makes me question a little bit of, like, our upbringing, a little bit of, like, maybe mom and dad were wrong. Maybe lying doesn't ruin your reputation. what am I missing here?
What baffles me is why people are still surprised by his behavior.
Yeah.
This is what gets me. Mm-hmm. The thing is, on some levels, I don't know. And it's one of these things that I don't know why you're surprised.
No, I'm not surprised. It's just, it's
like, of course he's going to mishandle this every step of the way. And if we come out of this, you know, like, and that's what they want you to think too, you know, it could be handling it just shitty. And we think he's handling it really shittily because of, and I do think the news, you know, mm-hmm. they do inflame a lot of shit that doesn't need to be inflamed. I think a lot of liberals who hate Trump look for any reason to hate him, you know, not all, but many folks are, whatever, you know, if mm-hmm. he farts in the wind, he's air pollution, you know, whatever the thing is, mm-hmm. they're trying to shit on him. I just don't know why anyone's surprised anymore. And this is a thing I said with Obama, and I'm glad it hasn't happened to him either. It was like, of all the crazies in the world, how is this guy still in office? Nobody's tried to kill him. Nobody ousted him. He didn't get fired. Like, how is that still happening? And he's still there. Like, is he just an asshole who happens to be good behind the scenes? You know, like, that's the only thing I can think. I'm not saying that he's like secretly good, because I don't fucking know.
And well, I think there's a lot of,
think that's the case.
I think there's a lot of things that get put into place when you reach a status like that. And this, you know, you and I have talked a little bit about this sort of, like, there's certain protections he has now. It doesn't matter what he says, what he does, he can't be criminally prosecuted. Like, there are certain things that as a president, because of the way the Mueller report shook down, that a president can't be indicted while he's in office. There are certain things that it's like, yeah, to some degree, it doesn't matter. Donald Trump literally could walk out on Fifth Avenue, put a gun right up to someone's forehead and blow the back of their head out. And no one can do anything while he's in office. And that's just an insane thing. That's an insane power to put in anybody's hand, let alone Donald Trump's. You know, like Barack Obama, say what you want about his policies or where you think he was born. I think the evidence over 8 years bears out that Barack Obama is not like an insane flamethrower breathing maniac.
Like, well, people say that he was just a better speaker, so we just didn't think he was.
Well, that's fine.
Which is cool. That's what I want. Fucking lie to me, man. Read a speech. Kill babies in the back room. I don't care. Just come out and go, I'm the president and everything's going to be okay. Like, give an old man speech that everyone's bored by and then get off the fucking stage.
I'm curious how the primary – I mean, it's like, yeah, I feel like Americans – what do you – I mean, you and I have talked a lot about politics and, you know, I've argued with mom a bunch about it. I don't – I'm actually going to assume you don't argue with politics about mom. But – or argue about politics with mom, but
here's what I do that you don't do.
What?
Everybody I talk about politics with, I first up open up and tell them I have the advantage of not being of either idiot party. I say that lovingly because you both are at each other's throats. You and mom are on opposite ends politically, so you argue about politics. I am hated equally by both parties.
Nah, we're all right.
When I go into a conversation, I just look for common ground only. And if I know we're not going to agree on it, I don't sit there and try to convince her of it.
Yeah.
I love you.
I mean, I agree in general, but I would say that I think mom and I are okay. We're actually getting better at this, talking about politics and not screaming at each other, which I'll see as a silver lining to this whole Trump phenomenon. But it's like you go along and you think like, oh, wow, Sandy Hook happened. Wow. Maybe we'll have a different thing on gun control. Nope. Nothing. Wow. Oh, crazy that 57 people were gunned down at in Las Vegas by a guy who was just sitting in his hotel room. Wow, nothing changed. Cool. Maybe a worldwide pandemic could expose the weaknesses in the healthcare system. Like right now, based on the past evidence, I'm sort of in this position of like, oh, wow, that's weird. Not even a worldwide pandemic shutting everything down is going to change the way that we act. And
to clarify, you're saying the way we act in terms of a government towards healthcare?
Just in terms, I would say that's even maybe three or four steps down the road, because what keeps us from getting to healthcare or infrastructure or support for the arts or national defense or border security, anything like that, is just the inability to talk to each other about it. Like our,
I've been saying that
our inability right now to sort of even, I mean, right now, if you're contemplating the idea of opening up the government, like there's a tiny part of me that understand is like, I do empathize a little bit with Trump in the idea that I don't think he should be opening up the government without thinking about, you know, what his health advisors are saying. On the other hand, there is a point at which, if you look historically speaking back when major depressions in the world have happened, major economic recessions, wars, lots of people die of things that aren't directly related to a bullet hitting you or a disease getting you. It's depression, it's suicide, it's unemployment. It's all of these things that are sort of causes that you can't, they're not one, you can't just be like, this happened and now this happened. Like you can with COVID. You can be like, oh, you got COVID-19 and then you died. And I don't know. I actually am, to me, I feel like if we come out of this and we still are not able to see the idea that the world is a complicated place and you can't look at the world as a one or a zero, you're not either a Democrat or a Republican, you're not a libertarian or an agnostic, you're not any of these other things, we're all messy people. And I think our inability, our profound ability to only have binary conversations, I think is really being put to test with this. I'm curious what you think about that. I mean, I hope we come out of this with the ability to be like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, I didn't realize this thing about the healthcare system. And now all three of my grandparents are dead because of their inability to access blah, blah, blah. Maybe we should be thinking about, what does it mean to shore up our healthcare systems without calling it, you know, Venezuelan socialism? You know, like there's got to be some hybrid version of this that only Americans can do because we are awesome. We do have a lot of great innovations. We do think, we do operate differently than other countries. Like I feel like we need to be coming up with like the hybrid version of what the world's been doing for the last however many years. Like let's do our own. But we are incapable of talking about that stuff because we immediately go to our camps of you're either a one or a zero.
Yeah, well, that's been a thing I've been talking about for a long time. Is, you know, you said, how do you talk with mom and don't argue? Your question 3 minutes ago was, that's how I talk with everyone. I think it's really important to talk to people who think the same as you. Totally. I also think it's almost more important to talk to people who don't think like you.
Yeah.
Because it does one of two things. It's either going to convince you that you are more correct. You talk to them and go, I heard their idea. I listened to their idea. They voiced their opinions on my idea. I feel stronger that my opinion is this, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or the other way. I was convinced of their idea. I realized maybe what I'm doing is wrong, or maybe I thought too, you know, about the wrong aspect of this issue or whatever. And you're convinced the other person. So talking to people of different things is either going to make your opinion stronger and maybe you convert them over to your ideology. Maybe you don't. Or either way, the end result is that you have a better understanding of both sides and make a better decision as far as what you support and don't support. Mm-hmm. And the problem is it takes two to tangle, right? So when I talk to somebody who doesn't think like I think, right? I have to go into that knowing they're not attacking me, and I have to know that they think I'm attacking them. You know, like I have a Republican friend who I love. I play music with him, good friend, good human. When I speak with him about something political, he always shies away because he's like, oh God, this is going to turn into a fight. And
you know, he said something in passing when I was talking to him, and I just told him, like, that was sounded kind of defensive. Like, it was like, well, you guys are, blah, 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 you're trying to get this and this and that. This is all bullshit. And I said, hey, man, I'm not attacking you. Like, I'm not attacking you. I'm not attacking your ideas. I'm just trying to understand what this is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he was like, oh, like, he's so not, you know, if you're a Republican right now, it's, you can't say a thing without getting shit on, except by Republicans. Republicans can be friends with Republicans right now. Mm-hmm. Republicans trying to be open with Democrats is just not, because they're an idiot. They're racist. They're the reason we're all going to die of COVID-19. It's like, you guys all need to settle the fuck down. Seriously. And grow a pair emotionally so that you can take someone else's different opinion into your field of thought and, you know, chew on it a little bit. And I told my friend this. I said, you need to settle down. Not everyone's attacking you. I said, you're acting like you call the liberals. You're calling liberals snowflakes, and you're over here snowflaking before I even ask you the other half of the question, you know? So, and here's the thing. So they need to know they're not always being attacked. You guys, and I mean you guys, the royal you guys, liberals, right? They need to not be attacking these people. I get it that a lot of liberals are emotionally tied up in what's happening, right? It's a charged issues, charged time. You have to not do that. Here's why. The assumption that all Republicans are stupid. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's inaccurate. Mm-hmm. They're not. Just because you voted for Trump doesn't make you stupid, okay? A lot of those guys are going, we fucking hate Trump, but he was our candidate, you know? Mm-hmm. How much do you love Biden? Are you going to vote for Biden?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you like Biden?
Yep.
No, you don't. He's not your fucking choice. Don't sit here and fucking lie to these people. Don't lie to the 12 people that are listening to this. it's horse shit. So if you don't listen to Republicans and you don't try to really understand their point of view, and I mean really, don't just write them off at the first thing you hear. If you really try to understand a Republican, you're going to realize that just like liberals, out of 10 liberals, you got about 3 complete fucking whack jobs. You got about 5 totally uneducated, you know, people. And then you got like 3 really smart people. And I think that was 11 I just named. So
we're not counting.
No one's counting here. It's libertarian math.
We don't count in the Corona era.
Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? It's always a mixed bag, right? Same thing with Republicans. You're going to have guys that you're going, that's the Yahoo at the Trump rally, like, get rid of the blacks and the Mexicans. And, you know, it's like that guy is one of those guys. And you're like, all right, fuck him. Okay. But in there, there's a guy who's really fucking smart. There's a guy in here that's doesn't know anything. He's just in the middle. He's going, Trump wasn't, you know, whatever. But there's both sides have shit to learn. And both sides are so inflamed that they can't have this conversation. It's like,
yeah.
As a libertarian, I'm looking at him going, neither one of you is fucking right. Okay.
Well, I don't think
that's, of course, me thinking I'm right, which is, you know, my own bias. But yeah. I'm looking at you both and going, there's ways you could talk and find compromise.
That
just doesn't happen.
I mean, I'm a believer in that we should be striving to, as a human species, to take the best ideas of every argument and use only those and totally throw in the trash the dumb ideas of every argument. Like, let's figure out what it is about the libertarian argument that we think is awesome. Let's figure out what we think about the Democratic far left argument that is awesome, but not completely mutually exclusive from the libertarian argument. Now, where does that overlap with the Republican argument? Oh, it turns out there's a lot more things that overlap than we all want to admit. And what we're actually all arguing about are basically abortion and guns. Like, that's the two. Those are the two. Those are two very quick deciding lines, abortion and guns, like where you fall down. Then from there, there's other issues. But I'm saying those are actually relatively fringe issues. When you look at the day-to-day operations of human beings, we actually, like get those two things out of the mix. I feel like we overlap. I don't
give a shit about guns, to be honest with you.
I think
a Democrat yet who was like, I was Obama and what he did for guns. Not once.
Well,
not
and
once
I think, have I, think,
I heard a Democrat say that.
I think a lot of people who saw Beto O'Rourke, like, I think a lot of people on the right who point to, like, look at Beto O'Rourke. Like, he's saying, yeah, we're going to come for your guns. You're damn right we're going to come for your guns. Like, I would say 98% of the Democratic Party, like myself included, when he said that was like, oh no, oh no.
Beto, yeah, he's not your guy.
Beto, be quiet. Like, you're not helping our cause. Because while I feel like it would be, if we lived in a society that for
his
some reason.
His name was Beto. Let's talk about that.
If we lived in a society.
I should be fucking in charge of deciding who gets to run. Robert, your name's Beto. You'll never fucking win. You're Donald Trump. Get out of here. You're a clown.
Well, I just, the thing that I think the Trump era has put into me, and especially this coronavirus era, is like, I am not, like, living on the fringe is not a place I want to live. I just am not comfortable there. I'm not comfortable. I'm more comfortable in a spot where more ideas are being considered. I think that's, and again, like, I'm not saying that the far left doesn't have a great idea from time to time. And I'm not saying the far right doesn't have a great idea from time to time. I want to live, though, in the pool in the middle where we're able to be like, hey, what ideas do you have over there? Hey, far right. You know, and then they're like, yeah. We can be like, no, that's a terrible idea. Stay over there. You know, and we can have this discussion without being lit up every time you question a premise. You know, like, oh, you're a bigot if you don't believe this. Like, well, wait a minute. Hold up a second. How'd we get from, I'm curious about equal rights for men and women to I'm a bigot. Like, we jumped a few turnstiles here to get to this.
How did you become a bigot?
I'm just saying, in general, the overarching tenor of a lot of these conversations is like, I think this, and then someone's like, well, you clearly haven't read this article, and you're like, yeah, but have you thought about this? And they're like, well, clearly you haven't, and thus you are complicit in misogynist tendencies or something.
My favorite topic going around, by the way, you just touched, I was not expecting to talk about this today, mm-hmm. but I love that you brought it up, and it's tangential. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, sure. Well, it depends on what you're about to say, whether or not it's tangential.
It's Trump's corona era, bro. I can make up fucking words.
Trump
right
is
now.
The king of tangents. So by all means, buddy, you just segue with absolutely no attempt at making it logical.
You know what I miss? Hungry, hungry hippos. No. Great game. Goddamn shame it's out of production now. I was going to say this. And we don't have to stay on this tangent. We can totally come back to it or drop it like a bad habit. But I'm interested in this, what I view as the exacerbation and unnecessary extrapolation of this Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. And I think... Just for the 11 folks that are still listening, It's 10 now.
Todd just dropped off.
Todd's like, nope, I'm out.
No, I heard Me Too. I'm out.
I heard Me Too. Don't want to hear it. Me Too is important, right? This was a thing that mattered. Women were getting raped, molested.
Mattered harassed. And still matters.
Of course.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm saying it's been a couple years since it started.
2016.
That's what I'm saying. It's been okay 4 years. Great. Yep. So this mattered, right? It still matters. But I'm saying when it first came out, people were like, "Oh shit, okay, fuck." Everybody's getting like, this is not just guys hitting on girls. It's like, nah, it's getting fucking creepy out here, you know?
Right.
And I know for me anyway, I was going, "Dudes, you use roofies? That's a thing? I thought that was like in movies."
Yeah.
You know, it turns out people are just getting drugged left and right. A lot of dudes had no idea.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
So this all mattered. This was a very important thing. It happened. I know at least I have thought a lot about it. You've thought a lot about it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that movement came a lot of people being more aware. Good. From that, I also saw a lot of people take this and fucking run to now anything. You are now a misogynist. You're a rapist. Like, it's this demonization of men that came out of this. As like just painting with the broad stroke, that is like now it's the top go-to now is no matter what your thought is you're a misogynist, you're a rapist. Oh, it's the patriarchy and it blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, there's a lot of nuance in there, ladies, you know, like, and it's not even ladies. A lot of it's men saying this and it's like, man, Me Too is important. That needs to be addressed, but you know, moving this whole energy forward in a way that I don't know. It's just it's not as nuanced as the topic really is, and that's what bothers me about this government. Yeah, you're trying to please a lot of people, but these discussions what you're talking about is that, you know, you say one thing and then you're, you know, there's somebody that gets on my Facebook posts and I'll post something like a meme and it's like a relationship meme. It's not even like, nah, fuck women. They're gross. You know, they're mean.
Right.
I'll post a relationship meme and she posts something like, the misogyny is coming from within the house. And it's like, the fuck? And it's like, everything is painted that way. We're all demons now. It's like, never mind that men kept women alive for thousands of years, guarding you outside of caves. And then now we have to, like, we don't need to guard you outside of a cave. So we're just still stupid cavemen running around with our spears. Like, we are in need of some transformation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's as if we have just been shitting on everyone this whole time.
I
don't know if any of that makes sense or if I'm just rambling, no, but
it makes sense from, you know, as you know, I know you and I, you know, you and I have had many conversations about this and I see the stuff you post and I see the reactions you get from other females on your feed.
Yeah.
Who are supportive of the things you're posting. And this is the thing that I think this ties into the sort of coronavirus internet, the way we all talk to each other, is that the internet does not allow for nuance. And because that's where most of us get our information, we actually perceive the world to be that way. Like, we're like, oh man, wow, it must be crazy that you can't talk to a woman about X, Y, and Z. And, you know, I feel like I'm someone who has, you know, I like to be funny. I say things off the cuff a lot, but I also feel like my intent, I try to think a lot about my intent and make it very clear that, you know, I'm not trying to creep on you right now. I'm not trying, when I say, hey, nice shoes, I'm not trying to like do anything past just being like, man, I think your shoes are rad. You know,
but you can't even say nice shoes without getting a look. Like, I'm not a piece of meat. It's like, lady, I just like your shoes. Settle down.
And, but you know, I think, I don't know. I feel like I have my own personal irrational fears of like cancel culture and stuff, but also like I think the pendulum is sort of settling back towards the rational part of things, where
I think it's settling with a lot of folks.
Yeah, a lot of people are just
everybody though.
Well, and I think the sad thing is though, is that it's like the stuff that we're all reacting against or that we're all afraid of is only a really tiny percentage of the overarching, like the number of people that are participating in the conversation. There's just a lot of people who are afraid to say anything. And when 10% of the conversation controls the conversation, like where 10% of the people control the conversation, that's not a healthy place to be. And I think eventually now there's enough people who, like myself, and whether it be on social media or it be in the workplace or it be just on the street and you hear an offhanded comment or something. I know for me, it's been not necessarily with Me Too, but there was somebody, there was a homeless guy. I was in D.C. This is probably 6 months ago. We so did a show in D.C. and I was down there and there was a homeless guy like playing a bucket drum set. And some guy walked by, clearly well-to-do, and was sort of like, hey man, like play this song. Oh, you can't play this song? Like, why should I give you money? And was like demanding this guy take a request of his in order to give him money. And the guy sort of made something up that sounded like vaguely familiar. And the guy was like, yeah, man, out here, I love you. You're out here working for your money. And sort of being very flippant at this guy who had been clearly playing a bucket drum set. You know, this was 10 p.m. at night. He had been out there since 5 o'clock, you know, easily playing for 5 hours, 6 hours at a time, you know, playing for tips. And this guy was just being very flippant and very dismissive. And I just kind of stopped the guy and I was like, you do realize that that's not how homelessness works, right? Like, you don't, it's not a sustainable thing to just walk around and be like, hey man, dance for me. You're here. Like, you're here as entertainment for me, you know? And I bring this up and we had this weird conversation. It was super awkward and there was no animosity. There was no anger. We didn't get in a fist fight, but then he sort of walked away. And I feel like those conversations are starting to happen a little bit more with everything, whether it be Trump or Me Too or whatever, is the like, hey, when you say something ridiculous, I think it's okay to be like, hey, no matter whether it's, you know, 10 p.m. on a street in D.C. or whether it's on Facebook or whether it's in person, to be like, whoa, you just said something absolutely insane. And I know you don't actually believe that. Like, you just said something totally crazy. And I'm going to,
a lot of times don't even realize what they're saying, I think.
Yeah. And he just looked at me like I had said, like I was speaking Swahili to him. And I was like, dude, that guy's homeless. like
the white guy.
Yeah, it was a white guy. But I was like, that guy's homeless. Like, he's
nobody tells white guys what to do. Don't you know nothing?
No, I know. And I just...
That shit is real, man. I didn't think it was fucking real. But that's why he looked at you like you're Swahili. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know if you saw the color of my skin. Yeah. I was telling this homeless guy what's what. And you're here telling me I shouldn't.
I think so. I'm very curious in this current... Like, these are moments, I think, with this corona lockdown where we're all sort of forced to stare at ourselves a little bit. And be like, wait a minute, actually, you know, the things I've been thinking about for the last week and a half have been like, you know what? I have zero desire to make art right now. And all of the internet is like, artists, we need you now. Like, yeah. Power up, artists. This is your time. You've got nothing but time. Make art for us. And I know that's not exactly the intent, and I get why people are sort of – their instincts are going that way. But I'm like, dog, for 15 years, I have been trying to tell you why it's important that art be in your life. And now want it? Like, while I'm at home with my – in my underwear trying to, like, stay warm in the winter? Like, no, I'm not giving you a shitload of content right now.
And every single person was like, yo, go live. And go live, Zach, and put on a show on Facebook. And I'm like, first of all, I am free right now because I have been essentially laid off from my job.
Right, right.
That is to do this for money. So you're asking a very shitty thing. That's like me saying, you're a teacher. Teach for me. Teach me something. You're just at home doing that, like, or whatever the fucking job is. They're teaching from home. That's a bad example. But, you know, somebody that's got I do this for money. Why would I do this for free right now?
Well, this is a little bit of the
very, very liberal idea.
Well, this is also where I feel like I hope some people learn some things of like, oh, man, like it really does mean something like to be a teacher. Right now, parents are teaching. And I think parents should teach and should be responsible for their children. But on the other hand, 8 hours a day, your kids are going to study with someone who has thought about the specific field in which they're teaching your children. And now your kids are at home staring at you. And for better or worse, like that's
just... Some of these motherfuckers are dumb too, bro. Some of these teachers at home, some of these moms and dads are dumb, bro. Some of these motherfuckers are red team. I'm telling you.
Well, I'm just... I don't... We are in this very weird moment right now, and I'm very just like I don't know how else to describe it other than I feel like I'm in a test tube. Like, you know, you've seen those Petri dishes where they take a cotton swab and they stick it in someone's ear, and then they're like, and they do like a Z scrape, and then they just leave it there for like 2 weeks.
See what grows. Yeah.
See what grows. I think that's what we're in right now. Like we've just been like giant coronavirus is just like, here you go, U.S. economy. United States, we're in this dish right now, and I don't think anybody knows where this is coming out in 2 weeks.
I love a good government breakdown. As a libertarian, I enjoy seeing the collapse and shutdown of many unnecessary fucking businesses. But this is and hate me all you want, Todd Meehan. He's still listening. He didn't leave. He got nothing else to do.
Todd's here under a pseudonym called Marimba Hands 2020. Marimba love,
baby. Here's the thing. Okay, so arts in general.
Mm-hmm. Turns out not essential.
First of all, did anyone ever think it was essential? Arts happen. Music happens when society is flourishing. It's not it's not needed. It's not. You can only trade this to someone who doesn't need necessities. I can only sell a live music thing to someone who doesn't need it to like live. Like they've already got their other needs met, right? Mm-hmm. Art happens. You can't sell a painting to a guy who's hungry. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we immediately get clipped from society. People going, hey, keep doing what you do. Like, first of all, like I said earlier, go fuck yourself. I don't work for free. Number two is, this is going to cause, you know, how soon are you going to apply at Amazon? You know, because they're hiring, you know, mm-hmm. Trader Joe's is fucking hiring. CVS is hiring. You know, whenever we all have to work other jobs, your art goes away. This business, you know, it's like, I'm not going to have time. I'm going to get home from work and go, I'm tired. I'm not singing on fucking Facebook Live. So maybe people will send me $20. you know.
Right. And people won't. I mean, that's the thing. They're just like artists. It's like, okay, okay. All right, I'm going to put my PayPal link up. And if I play for 20 minutes and I don't see a single donation, I'm shutting it down because
I put my thing up because people have been asking me. They've been saying, hey, Zach, what's your Venmo? I had a couple friends ask me. So I was like, well, fuck it. People are trying to feel generous. I'll post it. I just said, hey, if you
I saw that.
Yeah, I posted. So half the comments were like, where's the live feed? I'm like, I'm not saying you should give me money, but their opinion was, why would anyone give you money without dancing for it? And I'm like, you know, I get it. I'm just putting this out there because people asked me. And they wouldn't give you anything anyhow. And I've gotten minimal contributions, but I've had people who the people that asked me for it did send me something. Hell, I had a friend who had no business sending anybody money, sent me $10. Mm-hmm. Another friend said, I don't have Venmo, mailed me a check for $25.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, this is really nice human stuff. But I think it's, you know, people a lot of times want stuff they aren't willing to work for. And I don't mean sometimes, I mean frequently. Mm. That's, you know.
Well, it's interesting to me, I think, when we talk about the – it's, you know, for the last,
as I say that, talking about donations I got for just
socialism.
I want stuff and I want to work for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I think when things are good, everybody can be like, this is what I think everything should be. And then when things are shitty, and we're all in the same thing, everybody's like, give me give me my $1,200. And it's like, okay, all right, let's do it. But can we just from henceforth stop saying that government bailouts are the devil? I'm not saying all government bailouts are necessary. What I'm saying is that let's just not say they're the devil.
This leads me to my next point.
Yeah.
The pandemic.
Yeah.
It was either God.
Yeah.
Or the Democrats.
Oh, stop it. With your Democrats bullshit.
Because listen now.
I'm listening.
It's only killing off old people, so yeah, they're getting rid of a lot of Republican voter base.
There's a lot of Democrats who are old too, dude. Just because you turn old doesn't mean you become a Republican.
I know. I'm just being an ass. Being an ass is one of my favorite activities, Josh. You should know.
Oh, this. I know. I know.
Yeah.
You should start a Patreon page that's just like, pay me $12 and you can log in and I'll just be an ass to you for 10 minutes.
Nobody wants to pay for that. They get that for free.
People pay for pictures of feet, dude. You do You do not have any idea what people will pay for.
Bro, I'm gonna be a cam boy.
I think, honest to God, like I feel like two things: cam performers and preppers are the two people that are like, I told you.
Preppers are laughing their asses off right now.
They're in their bunkers eating their MREs and their ramen.
Living on beds made of toilet paper.
Yeah,
they got taken
back. Kicking back.
I think here's what the repercussions is. I think the real repercussions will be this. Number one, I think people are, you know, like I have never wanted to see a face so much in my life than now.
Yeah.
My neighbor who I don't even like stopped over yesterday. I don't like this person. I don't hate him. I don't go my way to shit on him, but it's like, I don't know. We just had, I don't know. Just not my style. You know, like, get out of here, you know? Came to ask to borrow a bike pump yesterday. Nice enough person, but like, I don't really get down on him. So happy to see this person because I haven't seen humans in a week.
Yeah.
So I think there will be a general, are you quoting a,
I was waving to Stephanie with two fingers.
Oh, okay.
She meeped into the kitchen.
Oh, meep. Hi, Steph. The,
Zach says hello.
I think people will want a bit more human connection. I think they will value it more when they realize, oh, shit. I think, you know, right now we're nothing but screen time. Everybody's on their fucking phones and computers all goddamn day. And I think when that's all you have, people are like, this is actually kind of empty and weird. Like, I think they're going to appreciate people more. I think they're going to appreciate a dollar more. Hopefully start washing their hands. I'm surprised that people don't. But listen, dude, even if they announce this, we were at a function. I'm not going to name the place because I like this place, but they're, you know, it's one of our friends, a guy we know, a guy we play with, went to the restroom at this function. and somebody else I know and play with was in the bathroom as well. And this dude just pissed or shit and got the fuck up and just left. No hand washing, no soap, no hot water, nothing. This adult has nothing wrong with him. This adult has heard and seen all available news, still just chooses not to wash his hands.
Yeah.
How is that acceptable in or out of a pandemic?
Well, that, Zach, I just do not know the answer to.
But that's not, dude, it's like roaches, bro. If there's one guy doing that, there are so many more guys doing that. Or girls, for that matter.
Yeah, I know, but look at this. Sorry.
Yeah.
Being a little bit of a moop right now.
For those of you at home.
Anya, turn this way.
Josh is.
Turn this way.
Listening to anything I'm saying because he's coddling a dog.
That's my brother. That's your Uncle Zach.
Who looks like a deer.
Mm-mm. Well, listen, Brohim. We're all out here fighting the coronavirus, including me and Anya.
I wish the coronavirus only targeted stupid people.
Well, unfortunately, that's not how it works.
Well, what are we talking about that ate the coronavirus, Josh? I don't get to do a podcast with you much. We're just rambling.
What ain't the coronavirus? What ain't the coronavirus?
Yeah, we're out here talking about dumbasses don't wash their hands and stupid political shit.
What do you mean, what ain't the coronavirus?
I'm saying I'm on this podcast with you, and you ask me about shit neither one of us likes. Worldwide pandemics and politic bullshit.
Yeah, that's what this is about, dog.
That's what this podcast is about?
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk again whenever the world isn't melting down. But this is just a hey, Zach, what do you think of Corona? My Sharona.
That's what I think of coronavirus. You want to talk about this virus?
Well, when do you have any idea when your work might pick back up? Like, when's the next time you know for sure that you're booked to go outside?
I'm not.
Till like July?
I have dates still in May, but those are, you know, they're real dates officially, but unofficially, they're probably going to get canceled just because we don't know how long this is going to go. And then it'll depend on the first and second blooms of this virus too, because, you know, it hasn't really hit here. It has, but it's just starting. So, we're behind a lot of other places as far as how that will go. So it depends on how the first run hits. If it hits and we're quarantined longer, then it could be an issue for restarting stuff by May. So I'm just hopeful that the first bloom is not much and they find something. That's the real thing. The issue with this virus is that you can catch it again, number one. You can have it, kick it, and still get it again. And just being such a long period of time where you can have it, not know it, and still be contagious, so the only way to really lick it would be some kind of vaccine, because otherwise everybody's getting it. We can't stay shut down forever. So if you shut down for a month or two, max three, I don't see how you do it longer than 3 or 4 months without people going crazy.
We're a week and a half into it, Zach.
That's what I'm saying, and they're already being weird.
I get the arguments against what Trump is saying, but at some point, at least in this, I don't know. I don't want it to happen, but I don't trust people to be able to stay indoors. And
dude, they're not doing it now.
For another 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Are you kidding me? No way. This place is, people are going to go out and be like, oh, it's fine. I got it. I think I'm immune. It's going to work its way through our society and wipe out a bunch of people. And we'll have to look back and be like, oh, aren't the spring breakers who were in Florida, aren't they the ones to blame? And then somebody will be like, oh no, aren't these the people?
They need to find a vaccine. I think, the government in general needs, and us as people in general, this is one of the things that I'm constantly feeling like I'm constantly saying, or at least saying to myself, even if there's no one around, is focus on being solution oriented.
Yeah.
As life is full of problems. And I say this mostly in business, 'cause I, you know, try to stay in business, you know, and you know, there's problems all the time, as you're well aware. And every problem you could sit there and hem and haw, but ultimately you need a solution. Ultimately what we need here, is a vaccine. It's not a thing that you're going to, people are always going to get it. People are always going to be curious. It's either like a thing, like now we just have this plague. And if you're old, you don't die of old age anymore. You die of this horrible pneumonia, like flu thing. Cause that's how we roll now. Like maybe it'll be like guys like you and I, we're pretty healthy. Our bodies get used to carrying it and fight it off. And we just never get sick. But all the old people we never know all die, which is a shit option. Or it's, we look at the science community and take all that fucking money and we push it in there and go, okay, you guys are working goddamn overtime, ready to go. Cause you need I think this, the vaccine is the only option, for actually solving it. And the problem is that shit takes time, you know,
right,
to flip a vaccine around the scientific community and have it be tested, have it be kind of vetted by this professional, that professional, blah, 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 to run test trials to make sure it even works. Assuming they have a vaccine, from that point, you're still looking at a period of time, which I've heard, you know, him say something like a month, which is like way too short. You can't do a real.
Yeah. To have like clinical trials and make sure it doesn't give people like, you know, seizures when they take it. Like,
yeah,
I mean, this stuff, we're behind. And, I don't know. We're all just making stuff up right now as to what's coming in the next couple of weeks. Listen, bro, glad you don't have it
yet, that we know of
yet. The long finger of Corona is pointing at you right now. Look how long my finger looks when I put it up to that mirror.
Yeah.
The camera. Goodness. Anyway, bro. Well, you take care of yourself down there in South Kakalaki there. And
what did you call it the last time we spoke? The land of Foghorn Leghorns?
The land of Fogshorn Leghorn.
Fogshorn.
Fogshorn. Right. It's like chiefs of staff. They're Fogshorn Leghorns.
Yeah, that's right.
Foghorn Legshorn. You have fogs, to do fogs and legs. Or is it Foghorn Legshorn? I think Foghorn Legshorn rolls off the tongue better rather than Fogshorn Legshorn.
The best part is that South Carolina, like, I love hate it here. Like, I love them. And then there's times I'm like, fuck. But a lot of people just chill the fuck out. They don't, like, everything's cool. They're all just like, well, I guess there's this virus. We're just going to.
God bless that virus's heart.
I'm just going to keep praying. And I know that, you know, hey, God's got a plan for me. It's like, I love you guys. And that's all true. And that's beautiful. Like that, like, you know, like God do have a plan for you, you know, like, but just it's like this, just gentle, like everything's going to shit, but you know what? We got enough biscuits. It's like,
got enough biscuits, enough pimento cheese.
We've got enough. We got enough cheese. We got enough wine. And, you know, Jimmy's got the boat. Jimmy's still fishing. We got fresh fish still. So they just don't. Like, they just
Jimmy's
don't.
Got the boat. Have you watched Tiger King or King?
Oh, God, I just finished it. It's amazing.
That show is so good.
We're not done with this podcast. Let's talk about Tiger King for just a second.
All right, continue.
Please, you ain't got anything else to do.
Tiger King.
Holy shit.
Dude, this guy Holy ran shit. A big cat, like, amusement park in Oklahoma for, like, years, and you're just like, how did no one die of a tiger attack? No spectator died.
The chick who lost her arm is just like, you know, he's a good boss. I really liked it.
The worker who had her arm ripped off by a tiger.
And the whole time, given the, like, her, like,
her responses chat, to the documentary. With a nub hanging out.
With her nub, it's like.
We'll call it evidence of malpractice, just hanging out there. And Tiger Man. Yeah, Tiger, I think, it's not called Tiger Man, or is that what it's called?
Tiger King.
Tiger King. I highly recommend Tiger King to everybody out there. I feel like everybody in their life knows someone who, if you found out they were the Tiger King, like some kid you grew up with, and you found out, you're like, whoa, that's how they turned out? You'd be like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, there's a few
people in everybody's class, like high school classes growing up, who like very easily could be the Tiger King.
It's so ridiculous And it's so amazing that, like, so there's the Tiger King, right? There's Joe. What's his name?
Joe. Well, it's Joe Exotic.
Joe Exotic. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. It's
Joe Exotic, who is a meth smoking, gay, redneck, country music singer.
Not the worst country music singer I've ever heard either.
No, not the worst.
Sadly, it's like, well, okay, that could be worse.
He's like a talk show host. He's an amusement park owner. He owns tigers, gators, monkeys,
giraffes,
giraffes. He owns all this weird shit. And every single person that works for him is like a meth head, a biker, or with whatever.
Crazy the fuck. Tattoos.
They all have crazy tattoos. And oh, he's also polyamorous. He's got two husbands who aren't gay, by the way, which is like another plot twist. I thought of that whole thing. I just fell in love with a couple of straight boys. And it's like, all right.
You did?
Yeah, well, it seems like you really did. Like, and you're like, what were they doing? Like, and you know, gay or straight, I don't give a shit what you do or who you fuck or love. I don't care. But looking at it from that angle, I'm like, how do you get, if you're not gay, right? Like, how do you get into a relationship with two men where you are actually married?
I think.
And having sex, I assume. And then go, oh, I guess I'm just not gay. Like, and just like, I feel like, isn't that a thing you kind of like have an inkling about?
I want to know what the pickup line was. Like, how do you ask somebody out? Like, if you're Joe Exotic, are you like, hey,
I got tigers and meth.
I got
you don't need anything else.
I got tigers.
I got tigers. That's it.
I got
that's
tigers
it.
And a camel.
Like
what? And then that person. Like, okay, so the other person goes over, and it's like, okay, the second date is like, man, Joe Exotic called me again.
He's got a mullet.
And then somebody's like, well, who's Joe Exotic? Why would you go out with him again? Well, my first date was more like we just went over and looked at his tigers and his camel.
And then we smoked some meth.
And then we smoked some meth and got some more shoulder tattoos of tribal designs. It's such a crazy. I mean,
he had me trim his mullet.
Dude, people are incredible. Are you kidding me? We are absolutely capable of doing anything. I mean, some days we wake up, you're like, which is more possible, flying to the moon or opening up a big cat refuge in Oklahoma? I think a lot of people might be like, I don't know, going to the moon is harder. Nope. Turns out starting a big cat rescue in your backyard is perhaps a less likely scenario for most people. With Walmart meat trucks.
I love husbands. That, like, they're trying to, like, they're putting this together, like, juxtaposing it with this Doc Antle guy who is also polyamorous, but has
talking about the husband of the other woman,
the guy from Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach is 2 hours north of here,
right? But the woman, but who's with the other big cat rescue woman? That older guy, the older guy.
No, so there's the older guy and the big cat rescue woman, right?
Yeah,
that's Carol, and that's like that older guy's like, maybe I'll get murdered like her husband.
Yeah, he's a little nutto too.
He's got to be nutto. How do you get with that girl? It's like, maybe she killed her husband, maybe she didn't.
How do you see that woman and you're like, yep, that's the one.
She got crazy eyes, man.
I got to get that woman's number.
I don't care what you say. People look at you, you're like, oh, crazy eyes. Done. She's got crazy eyes. Either way, what gets me, my favorite character in this whole thing is this Doc Antle from Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got three wives.
Yeah.
And a bunch of tigers. And apparently loves everyone but Carol. He's just like, hey, Joe's got a good, you know, tiger farm. Like,
as far as tiger farms go, Joe's good. Joe's a good one. Pretty B plus.
Yeah, like
tiger
this guy, it's like he's got a ponytail and three wives. And
every big cat doctor has a ponytail.
Mandatory vegetarianism for his wives.
Mm-hmm.
Only allowed to eat vegetables at a
and cat shoes farm. That you made.
And shoes that you make. How about the fat guy that got caught for having an illegal lemur and snitched on everybody? The show has everything, dude.
Oh my God. And the show is so good.
If you haven't seen it, Todd, you're the only one listening by this point. So if you haven't seen it, like
Todd is the cat king, the tiger king.
The tiger
king. Todd runs a tiger king down in Waco, or tiger king the amusement park down in Waco, Texas.
Todd's just got a backyard full of tigers and illegal.
That's
beavers.
What Liquid Drum is. It's just a huge front. like front. Big fence zoo.
He's fucking
Todd breeding. Liquid Drum acres. They own like 3,000 acres down in Texas outside of Waco, and Todd just like lets freelance percussionists run around it like wild game. Hey, on that note, I'm gonna let you go. I gotta TC some other bees here. You keep safe over there in Corona Land, buddy.
Hey, first of all, we all know you ain't got no bees.
I got TC. Bees to TC over here, buddy.
All right. Well, good to talk to you. Stay safe, sanitize. Stop waving your finger at the camera like that. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, buddy. Take care.
It was honest enough for you.
Oh, it was absolutely honest. And, you know, stay safe. Maybe we'll touch base in a week and see how things are going.
Yeah. And then we can, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice beard.
All right. Good talk.
You have like a normal beard, like a human.
Yeah, it's growing back in. I don't have the long strays like you have right now in the front.
The long strays. Is that what they're called? I thought I had like a little bit of a goatee happening on the end of my beard.
No, you have a little bit of a no-tee.
Long stray. beard insults.
Goatee.
I'm a man with a shorter beard than mine. I don't right. take
one. I love you, bro. Talk to you later.
Love you, too. I'll talk to you later.
All right. See you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Enjoy. Hope you're all staying safe, staying healthy, and staying sane. Talk to you soon. Bye.